And let's turn now to Syria. Russia has a proposal to end the civil war. It would include an early presidential election. But what happens if Russia's ally, President Assad, loses? And there's another round of peace talks this weekend. How will that go as the U.S. announces it's sending ground troops to Syria as advisors? And what is Russia really doing up in the air? Is it targeting ISIS or Syrians opposed to Assad? And how will the terrible tragedy of that downed Russian plane, possibly downed by ISIS, affect all of this? We have questions. Thank goodness Jim Walsh is here. He's here and now security analyst. He's with MIT Security Studies Program. He joins us in the studio. Jim, happy Veterans Day to you as well.
Happy Veterans Day to you, Robin.
To everyone. So Russia has a plan for a new government in Syria. What do you make of that?
Well, let's put this in context. This is part of an ongoing series of meetings. They've sort of shifted over time, the membership and the topics. And in some ways, you can say there are reasons to be encouraged, but there are also reasons to be discouraged. In the original meeting, Geneva 1, Russia sort of signed off to the notion that there would be a post-Assad regime, that Assad would go. They seem to be stepping back from that in this proposal, not really implying that he can stand for election when they have these presidential elections after a series of steps. That was not well received by other members of the around the table, the Turkeys and the Saudi Arabians.
But what's the thinking? Would he win? I mean, who's left to vote?
Well, I mean, you put your finger on what I think is a central question here. What does that election look like? Now, you'll remember that Syria did have, quote, a presidential election, unquote, recently that Assad overwhelmingly won. Lots of surprise there. And so how do you have a real election when you're in the middle of a civil war, when millions of people have fled the country? And there's reference in this Russian proposal to this phrase, the unified Syrian opposition would get a seat at the table. Unified Syrian opposition sounds more aspirational than it does something in fact.
Well, that brings us to these talks in Vienna on Saturday. Russia will be there along with U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. The Syrian opposition, whoever that is not involved. So how can there be this negotiated settlement if they're not?
Well, I remain skeptical about this. I mean, at the end of the day, it will only be either one side has to win overwhelmingly on the ground or there has to be a political settlement. There really aren't a lot of other options. And so I'm in favor of the talks. I'm in favor of pushing this forward. But I have deep skepticism about its prospects. And I think the role here is all the outsiders are meeting, right? It's not Assad's government. It's not the folks who are fighting on the ground, not the people with guns that are shooting. But it would be helpful if all the other players, and there are many, many players, foreign governments involved in this civil war, if they could sort of arrive at a unified position and then maybe use what leverage they have to push their patrons towards a compromise. But even that first step, I think, is going to prove quite challenging.
Yeah. Russia, of course, now also very involved with Egypt. After the Russian plane filled with tourists crashed in the Sinai Peninsula a week and a half ago, Russia suspended all flights to Sharm el-Sheikh, and they say that might go on for months. First of all, do you think that ISIS might have targeted that plane?
Well, I have no direct evidence. I'm not privy to the classified intelligence, but there seems to be a broad consensus among many governments, U.S., Britain, and others, that this was a consequence of an act of terrorism. There was chatter picked up involving ISIS. Whether they are the culprits or not remains to be seen, but I'd say it's more likely than unlikely, as the British have said, that this was a consequence of terrorism.
Well, amazing how, I mean, and horrendous, how perhaps a bomb, because the thinking is that it is a bomb that might have been brought on or affixed to the plane, can so be part of disrupting the region. Now you have Russia and these harsh feelings with Egypt. So given all of that, what else are you thinking about Syria? As migrants continue to bleed out of that region like, you know, in a broken blood vein, can a country be stabilized with millions gone and then those disruptions like a plane being blown out of the sky?
Well, I think we're going to see those sort of tragedies happen, not with great frequency, but they're going to happen now and again, here and then. Mm-hmm. This is a way for ISIS to strike back at Russia as it deepens its involvement. This first attack may result in a rally around the flag feeling back in Russia, where everyone comes, is angry and comes to defend Russia's participation. But after the 7th or the 10th or something like that, that may begin to shift the mood. Mm-hmm. I think for me, as I look at Syria, I think the real question is what are Russia's long-term objectives? It's really – I'm sure they don't want to spend a lot of resources and get caught in a quagmire, but it's not clear how they win either. So that's what I'm keeping an eye on.
Yeah. Jim Walsh here, now security analyst with MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, thanks as always.
Thank you.